It is September 1991. You had a lot of work to do. In fact, you were supposed to do something right now, but you forgot. You got too busy because you were watching the new Star Wars film. That's right. You use this new thing called Netflix, which just started recently, and you were watching it. And after you watched the new Star Wars film, you're like, ugh, I kind of sucked. Anyways, now you got a lot of work to do. Yes, it's time to.
This is sassy. It's the slumber party.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the quiz?
Yes.
All right.
The quiz is, are you school phobic?
Yeah. Are you school phobic? Do you see high school as God gift to youth or as punishment for your past life as Genghis Khan, as in Madeline Khan? Speaking about are you school phobic, sassy? That's not how you spell it.
No.
You will be quizzed on this material. All right. Number five is in the sentence completion section. Cafeteria food. A, something to run kicking and screaming from. B, tolerable. C, delicacies worth duplicating at home. Originally, my answer was B, tolerable, because I thought once in a while you get something. But then I remembered there was a sandwich that they had at Thorold Secondary High School.
Old man sentence you. There was a sandwich. Put it on the board. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Grandpa's activated.
Back in my day, we used to put meat and cheese between bread. And we would eat it.
There was a sandwich.
And it was the most basic shit ever. But I fucking loved it. And I just remembered I loved it so much. I asked my mom to get all the ingredients so I can make a version at home. This is what it was.
Oh.
Just your plain ass, like, bun that you can get at an Italian bakery, of which there are many in my hometown of Thorold because big Italian community there. So you got your hoagie-esque bun. Soft, not hard. Nice and soft. And then it is split in two, as you do with these sort of submarine sandwiches. And then in it, you put salami, processed cheese slices, because they're not called American cheese in Canada. We don't call it Canada cheese. Mm-mm. And then the secret sauce, Kraft Italian dressing. And that was a sandwich, and holy fuck did I love. Yes, Pam, you can make that face. But if there was a vegetarian equivalent of that salami I used to get all fatty and boobalatty, I would absolutely go down on that sandwich right now. Because what you did is you get the sandwich, and by the way, hold for giggles. The name of the cafeteria company was Beaver Foods.
It sure was.
Yeah.
At our school, too.
Going down on a sandwich.
Yeah, going down on that sandwich. Eat it.
That's good beaver.
You get the sandwich. You cut it in half. You tear it in half. And then you would take the Italian dressing squeezy tube that they would have there, and you would steal it, bring it back to your table, and make a giant lake of Italian dressing to dip it into. Like it was au jus. And anyways, so that reminded me, my answer wasn't in fact B, tolerable. It was C, I'm gonna make this at home. And I did.
That was mine as well, because at our cafeteria they used to make chocolate chip cookies that were about the size of like a teacup saucer. So they were always intentionally like still hot and raw in the middle, and they were so good.
Yeah, I used to make an equivalent of that at the donut house where I worked at high school. I know I've mentioned that before. But yeah, there was like cookies that were the size of your head. Mm-hmm. And there was just no way for them to bake properly. So you got crunchy on the outside and basically cookie dough in the middle. And you're like, all right, this works. It all evens out in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they would put them out when they were still hot. Like they had not cooled yet.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of
molten
the thrill.
Chips.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
You're making me change my answer because you've made me remember steak fingers.
Uh-huh.
Which, there's no restaurant that sells these chicken fried steak.
No, that's not true.
If you're going to say Soup Plantation, I am going to hang up the soup.
No,
close. It's near Soup Plantation, because when we went to Tucson and we were going to Soup Plantation, every fucking meal we could, there was a place, and I forget the name, but it looked like an old school sort of sea surf and turf sort of restaurant in like an old diner building. And they had outside on their pixel board.
Oh, yeah.
Steak fries.
They did.
Steak fries. And we're like, what
not
the
fries,
fuckers?
Fingers.
Wait,
steak fingers. Yeah, sorry, fingers. Steak fingers. And then we're like, what the fuck? And then we went by another time and I realized they had steak finger decals on their windows. I'm like, well, these people are fucking serious about their steak fingers. Mm-hmm. And it just was like strips of steak breaded like chicken fingers. Yes.
No. Oh. Well, no, because they're nice and mushy and they're in the like gravy. It's like the in the chicken fried steak, Salisbury steak world, okay. You have your steak fingers, same sort of not meat. So if they didn't call it Canada cheese and they didn't call it American cheese, did they call it processed sliced cheese?
Yes.
The whole thing? This
you
clinical
usually
term?
Just say cheese slices and everybody would know what you meant.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I mean, we, in our household, we called it flat cheese because that's what I called it as a kid.
That sounds familiar. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's better.
You know, we're a very proud nation. We don't want to call it American cheese.
It's true.
We gave you bacon.
True. I have a small correction for you, Dave. This is actually in the word association section. You just didn't know that because word association section was an orphan at the bottom of the first column. Bad design, Neil.
Yeah.
Also two words. So is it word association? These word associations are mostly multiple words in groups.
This is the section that was created by a husband and wife, Ellard Word. And Eloise Association. That's why it's hyphenated.
Their kids have to really type out a lot whenever they fill out a form. All right.
That was cafeteria food.
Yes. Glad we all agree. Mine is from the question and answer section. Number 9. How often do you fake illness to get out of school? A, why I'd never dream of such a prank. B, oh, I've done it once or twice. See, I have PMS every other day as far as the school nurse is concerned. I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but when I was in grade 9, I used to basically, I would go to school most Mondays and then I would leave like halfway through. I'd just get sick of it and go home. Incredible. And one of my teachers actually finally did notice at some point, but I don't think anyone ever told my parents, probably because I would forge notes from my mother because her signature was just like her handwriting and I could copy it exactly. And I still could.
What did you just say? Copy it exactly?
I probably did, but I meant exactly.
Rory Gilmore would never. This is
no, I know. This was the least... the least Tara-ish phase of my life, other than that I was in band.
You're a bad girl.
But I would skip all the time. I would just, you know, leave because it was not hard to get back on the bus, on like the public bus and go home. And then when we moved to Niagara, I went to Niagara District Secondary School, which was out in the fucking country.
Yeah.
So if you go to school, you are at school for the day because there's no other way to get back. Oh, my God.
It's tough to get picked up when you're holding a typewriter trying to get home.
Pick up a ride at the nearby Harvest Barn.
I probably could have convinced someone at Harvest Barn to take me home to St. Catharines, but it was like, I mean, how long is that? Like a 25-minute drive, right?
Harvest Barn, Pam, is a barn in which you can get...
This thing got crazy. I was like, these lyrics.
Have we never talked about Harvest Barn before?
Fresh veggies, fresh fruit, but for some reason, they also had a salad bar there. So
salad bar was really good.
Yeah, it was really
good. They've got steak fingers. You took a Harvest Barn... You took the Harvest Barn to where?
No. It was like... It was catty corner from my school.
It's an actual store. It's not the name of a rustic rural bus. Everybody get on the Harvest Barn.
No, I understand. It's just, she said a sentence that was like, I guess I could have gotten a ride from Harvest Barn to St. Catharines or whatever. And I was like,
no, I just meant I could have convinced another patron to take me home.
What a jewel lyric is all I mean.
Yeah, it's like a farmer's market, sort of, but it's inside. It's not like, you know, it's a store, but it's only produce and
jams.
Jams and yes. Yeah. They probably had baking. I don't remember.
Probably.
Yeah. Harvest Farm was good.
Yeah, it was good. Mm-hmm. Stop shitting on it, Pam.
I don't. Anyway, I wrote B. I've done it like once or twice. And I'm not even sure that that is true if I faked an illness.
I have an answer where I feel like I should get a score in between the two things, because I have done it once or twice, but only in the service of getting better grades, because something happened and I didn't have time to study, or I forgot the test was there. And that's when I would fake being sick. So I didn't have to go to school and take a test I wasn't prepared for, or an essay I wasn't happy with, or something like that. So, you know, that's probably the worst answer.
Were you being, you're like, I was being a good student.
I was cutting to study.
Yeah. Basically,
I was punishing myself, Dad.
It's the only thing I had in my life for good grades. Leave me alone.
Yep.
Number 10, is the principal aware of your existence? A, yeah, he first of all, way to go, Passassi, assuming. He recognizes all the people who have detention a lot. B, sure, he knows everyone who volunteers for hall duty. And C, no, I'm just a face in the crowd. I could not imagine my principal knowing who I was, any principal. And we had, you know, a principal for each grade and an assistant principal and then a principal, because my school was a lot of people.
Wait a sec. You had a principal for each grade?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
We had that's a junior school.
It was a big school.
Were you in the army? Did they call the principal sergeant? What?
I'm not wrong about that. You're making me doubt myself. But we had a different principals.
I've never heard of a principal for each grade.
Mm-mm. I wonder if they still do. I can look up very quickly because it's a bigger school now.
Were you at a reform school?
No.
I think Necker District, I think it was like 500 students total, like across all four grades.
Wow.
Maybe.
That's a lot.
No. Total. Like for the entire student body.
Okay. I think, yeah, we didn't have that many.
Mm. Yeah, maybe it was less. I don't know. It was not that many.
We had one principal, one vice principal, two secretaries, and a guidance counselor. I think that was the upper management of the school, and that was
same.
Yeah, I haven't gotten far down here, but they have assistant principal 10th grade. So yeah, I mean, I guess I could keep going until I find it specifically.
Wow.
But there's, I mean, first of all, this faculty is enormo. I'm scrolling. So yeah. This one has attendance just 10th through 12th. In fact, the school was so big that eventually 9th grade is like its own school now.
Wow.
Panopticon High. Enjoy.
I only got in trouble once. It was not the principal, it was the vice principal. And it was because, for the dorkiest possible reason, this was at Niagara District also, I had brought my metronome to school. It was like a little battery-powered metronome.
And, were you trying to be cool?
No,
I think
it was because it was
a flare gun. It went off in her locker.
It was no, I did. We set it in my locker like as a joke, and they broke into my locker and
took
no
it. Shit.
I don't know why we thought it was funny, but I did get in trouble for that. Eventually, I was like, "Wait, what happened to my metronome?" It took like weeks, and then I went and looked for it, and that was when the vice principal was like, "Yeah, don't leave this ticking in your locker, idiot." And I never did after that.
And that's how he knows your name. Because you're the fucking idiot with the metro bomb.
Could be.
There's one principal, an associate principal, and six assistant principals currently at this high school.
That's too many.
So I don't know. That's how they're doing it now. It's been some time. But yeah.
Was like everybody poorly behaved? Y'all just country bumpkins with your rifles going to school?
The only time I remember the principal knew my group of people because we were always getting in trouble for our clothes.
Sure.
And the only time I remember a principal like giving me shit was I was wearing a t-shirt with Divine on it in various poses and stuff.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm wearing my Jane's Addiction Ritual de la Habitual t-shirt. Nobody gives a shit. Just like full peen on that one.
See, yeah, but that's paper mache peen or whatever.
That's right.
That's the art true. The art peen. Yes.
Yeah, art peen.
Yeah, I was wearing some filth.
Are
at times.
You going to Scarborough peen? That's art peen.
Nice.
Yeah.
I got 8. Oh. Even with my one and only badass answer, I was still, you're a huge nerd loser in the 9-0 category. We must commend you on your exemplary attitude towards all things academic. It's wonderful to be into education as long as you're not letting other interests and activities suffer. Sometimes it's good for your soul to ditch homework for a while and go see a movie. Hey, I did both. But hey, we're real proud of you, so have a great time at the SATs, you brown nose. Joke's on you. We don't have the SATs in Canada, and I never had to take it, and I never will.
We call them our flat tests.
Nice. I assume you also scored in this category.
I had a badass 9 until I changed my steak fingers answer, and I am also 8.
All right, Dave.
I beat you both. I either had a high of 7.
Oh.
Or if you accept my I need to be halfway in between for the fake illness answer, I'm 6.5.
We're such good kids.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Look at us now.
I mean, look at
now
us.
Now all I want to do is sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same, honestly. That's all I wanted to do in high school, mostly too.
Yeah, tracks.
Let's hear some calls.
All right.
Got a bunch of pop culture calls and then a bunch that are really calls that are just about us and the podcast that I put in the category potpourri. But let's start with pop culture. Call number 1, please.
Dave, Tara,
Pam, it's Megan. Shockingly, I'm not calling about River Phoenix or My Own Private Idaho or my experience of watching that movie. I am calling because I was listening to Amy Poehler's Good Hang. Yes, I'm sorry. I occasionally cheat on you by listening to other podcasts. And it was the episode where she's talking to Fred Armisen. And Fred Armisen mentioned Nation of Ulysses as one of the bands that influenced him as a young punk rocker, whatever he was doing in the late 80s, early 90s. Nation of Ulysses from our dreaded Ian, whatever his name is, Sassiest Boy in America. I couldn't believe it. I needed to unburden that with you. I'm like, who else listening to this knows? Who else listening to Amy Poehler's Good Hang, when he mentions Nation of Ulysses, knows the lore of the Sassiest Boy in America and how much we, as listen to Sassy listeners, hate him. Okay. Kevin Coogan forever. Bye.
Well, she called back. Clip two.
I had to call back because I didn't hear Pam have the same experience that I did in hearing it. I called before I heard the whole thing. Okay, I'm sorry. So, yeah, Pam, we had the same experience. Okay, bye. Bye-bye.
I'm glad that somebody else doesn't know who that guy's last name is, because every time my brain tries to think of it, I always call him Ian Bogosian.
Close.
Close enough.
That also comes up in our next call. Let's hear clip three.
Hi, Tara, Pam, and Dave. This is Carolyn in Luxembourg. You were discussing Nation of Ulysses and the former Sassiest Boy / Man in America on this last episode. And it reminded me of a mixtape that my friend Jay made for me and two of my best friends in 1994. On it, there were a couple of Nation of Ulysses songs, but there were zero track listings. So we just kind of had to guess at things. And one of the songs is called You're My Miss Washington, D.C., but I thought it was called Your Mom Hates Washington, D.C. And I didn't learn that it wasn't called that until 1999 when I was dating my now husband. And he played some Nation of Ulysses for me because we were going to go see them live. Actually, no, we were going to go see the makeup. Ian Svenonna Nono Nunez's other band. And it's important that you add as many syllables to his name as possible because he is super pretentious and was also pretty creepy, but does make good music. So it's one of those. Anyhow, he plays this album for me and I hear the song and I was like, oh, it's Your Mom Hates Washington, D.C. And he was like, what are you talking about? So yeah, that's one of our cute little first dating stories. Ha ha ha. So last week we were in Washington, D.C. and my dude, he is a big music dude, right? So, of course, we had to go to the actual Discord house where the picture of the Fugazi cover was taken, like their offices. And I had to take a picture of him sitting on the front porch, the goofiest little girl in the world. I didn't tell him he was acting like a New Kids on the Block fan, but he was absolutely acting like a New Kids on the Block fan. But I took his picture. Ian MacKay did not come out and tell him to get off his lawn, which was disappointing. But then we went and got tacos at a really good taco place just around the corner. So that was awesome. Yeah, I think that's all my Ian Svenononononius related content. Yeah. Oh, and also, because Jay made three mixtapes for us Valentine's Day, we had to promise not to tell Missy, who had just recently given him some blank tapes, that he hadn't made the tapes for her that he was supposed to make. So sorry, Missy, if you're listening, Jay definitely didn't give us mixtapes when he was supposed to be making you a tape. Thanks for the podcast. Bye.
That's a very Pam-coded story.
How many stories have the upswing of taco eating?
I mean, I have to think a lot.
A lot. The best ones. I was like, oh, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I could go for a taco right now.
I've had a taco today.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Wow,
you
have. Brag.
Yeah.
Let's hear clip four.
Hey, Tara, Pam, and Dave. It's Emily from New York. Apologies for the loudness. I'm waiting for my Lyft at the airport. Just listened to the latest episode on the plane and wanted to let you know that when the movie The Replacement came out, Is that what the band was called? The Irish band? I would always get it confused with that Justine Bateman movie about the girl band that she was in, which I had to look up and was called Satisfaction. But I would always get those two confused and be excited about the Justine Bateman one when it was like on cable or whatever, and then realize that it wasn't that one and it was some like Irish band. So, which I'm sure was a good movie, but I was not appreciating it at the time. The other piece is I 100% agree that Violent Femmes album is amazing. I didn't even know there was a video for American Music, but was laughing my ass off on the plane watching it. And everyone's like, who is that weirdo? But it reminded me of when I saw the Violent Femmes when I was in college at like a small club in Virginia. They were playing the song Kiss Off, you know, and it goes, because one because you left me on two for your family. But they like vamped a little longer than usual. The entire audience started singing that part. And the lead singer was like, just let us go through the whole piece for everything. And at the end was just like, you guys should just get together and sing. I don't need to be here. And it was so great. It was one of those like wonderful concert moments where we're all together and having a great time. So thanks for the memory. Thanks for bringing that all back to my head. Now I hope my lift gets here because I'm tired and I want to go home. Thanks. Bye.
What the fuck was that banshee at the end of that call?
New York is tough.
Emily, I have bad news. It's The Commitments. That's the name of the movie that you're thinking of, and the band in the movie. So now you have three things to mix up: The Commitments, The Replacements, which is a thing, it's a band, and Satisfaction, another movie about a band.
You dolt.
Just helping. No one called anyone a dolt on this side of the mic, Dave. Let's hear clip five.
Hi, Jenny from Saskatoon here. Just wanting to call and defend Pam's practice of paying her child to hang out with her. Pam, you're not alone. I do this too. I have a 13-year-old boy and I do things like pay him to hang out with me, play cards with me, watch movies with me. I buy special snacks just for us that we can eat while we watch Veronica Mars. It's hard to get your child to be with you when they are over a certain age, so I commend you. Also, just wanted to let you know that there was, many, many years ago, there was a movie reviewer for the Globe and Mail newspaper in Ontario and Toronto, and he had a kid who dropped out of high school, and so the dad said he wouldn't make his kid do anything, except he had to watch a movie with his dad every day. So if you have to pay your kid to watch movies with you, I support it. Don't let these childless people tell you you're doing a bad job. Pay your kid to love you. It's fine. We all do it. God bless. Goodbye.
That's why she sounds like she's confessing from a closet.
Yes, she does. I can't let him hear that this is all part of a plan.
He's going to think I'm so uncool. Listen, I have yet to pay a dime. Unless you count the fact that we went to the Billie Eilish documentary, the concert movie last week, and I bought all the things, which was a lot of candy and tickets. I don't count that paying your kid. I wanted to see the movie too. We had a delightful time. And this kid was still holding my hand while we were watching the movie and turning to me every once in a while and being like, I love you so much. I will. Aww. What? You can't put money on that.
I don't remember saying I thought you were a bad parent for doing that. That sounds like the kind of thing Dave would say. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Our version of that as childless people, as Jenny correctly called us, is when our smaller dog is just trying to live her life and one or the other of us picks her up and carries her around like a baby, which we have no reason to think she likes. But that's just for us. And we do pay her with treats, so she has to put up with it.
I told you I came in and found my kid reading The Outsiders while listening to Radiohead.
Wow.
I'm done. Like, I did it, you guys. And then he got out of the car the other day and was like, by the way, can you find me more books like The Outsiders? Bye. I got out of the car and I just shouted, this is the best day of my life. I love you so much.
That's very cute.
Hi. I think we're watching The Outsiders this weekend.
Aw.
It's great.
All right, now some calls about us and about other calls. Clip six.
Hi there. My name's Hannah. I just finished listening to, I don't know if it was the most recent episode or the one before that, but I was a teen raised on Sassy, and I recognized every single thing you guys talked about. Dipping, what are male ladybugs called, like the little girl poking her finger through the cellophane, moving. I remember every single one of those details. Anyway, I just felt inspired. I had to tell someone, so I figured I'd call you and tell you. Thank you very much for what you do. You're providing a great service to all the Gen X people that are living in the past. Thanks. Bye.
Just a reminder to anyone who's not in the Listen to Sassy Club, if those memories are not top of mind for you as they are for Hannah, you can join the Listen to Sassy Club for just $5 a month and get all the PDFs of the full issues, which are expensive and hard to find anywhere else, unless you live near Barnard College and can go and look at their archive. Ours is kind of the only game in town. So listen to sassy.com/club to get more information on that. Got a pair of calls from Kelly, but we gotta pay them one at a time, like with Megan's. Start with clip 7.
Hi, Tara, Pam, and Dave. This is Kelly in Rhode Island. I am still working my way through my second listen of Listen to Sassy because it's keeping me entertained through bad house chores that I don't want to do. So being able to listen to Sassy again is really good motivation for me. But I have been reminded that about the Olive Garden tour that Dave was going to go on. Whatever happened with that? Did he go and I missed it? I know they went to, he went to Tucson to go to Sweet Tomatoes, but I don't think the Olive Garden tour happened. But I wanted to report, though, that you're going to have to skip the one that I was hoping to meet up with you at, which is the Olive Garden in Attleboro, Massachusetts, which is just a few miles from my house, because the last two times I've gone there, they have overcooked the breadsticks. I went kind of 6 months apart, so I feel like this is just how they make their breadsticks, and they're kind of hard and not the squishy, lovely bread that you want from an Olive Garden breadstick. And it's very disappointing because I went to get soup, salad, and breadsticks. The soup was good, salad was good, the breadsticks were extremely disappointing. So that was very sad for me, and now I need to find a new Olive Garden. I'm not even sure where another one is around here. Anyway, love you guys, love the show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Guys, we're getting so old.
Well, there was more.
The soup was good.
All right. Let's hear the next one.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Pam, Tara, and Dave. This is Kelly in Rhode Island. Actually, I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida right now. I was just calling because I had called and said what happened to the Olive Garden tour, and now in my re-listen, I'm getting to the episode where y'all went to the Olive Garden in Austin and had a terrifying experience. So now I understand. I also maybe understand why the breadsticks at my local Olive Garden have gone downhill so much, because corporate just doesn't care anymore. It's very sad. Also, I wanted to say I am in St. Petersburg, Florida for my kids' swim meet for the third year in a row. And 3 days ago, we went to a coffee shop that one of the Discord members recommended 2 years ago when we came for the first time. We love the coffee shop. So thanks for the Discord community. It's been a lot of fun. And thanks for giving me a fun podcast to listen to for a second time to enjoy while I'm going for a walk among ludicrously giant houses near the beach. Bye.
Hey, I got good news for Florida. Apparently, that's where they're building the second Sweet Tomatoes.
Yes, that's right.
It's Tampa, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know where you are exactly. I don't know where that is in relation to Tampa, because I don't want to learn anything about Florida. But
she got so old, she moved to Florida between the calls.
But yes, shout out to the Discord. Good conversations are happening there. People are learning things they wouldn't know otherwise. So if you're in the Listen to Sassy Club, you can join.
I thought everybody was going to be chatting up the announcement of the Jane Pratt memoir. Nothing.
You were the first one to give me that news. I hadn't seen it before you posted that.
She's so excited.
Yeah.
She's going to tell the story of Sassy and how cool she is, and probably a whole chapter on the nose ring alone.
I was going to say a whole chapter on REM for
that too. Clip 9 is from a different Jenny. Let's hear that.
Hey, Sassy. This is Jenny from outside Chicago. A conversation that you had on one of the recent episodes reminded me of one of the most embarrassing experiences of my life. So I figured I'd share it with the world. I was about 14 or 15, and I was at a doctor's office in the waiting room with my mom, very quiet. And I yawn, and I go, "Ah, I think I have necrophilia." And my mom goes, "What?" And I said, "I think I have necrophilia." She's like, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, necrophilia, where you keep falling asleep all the time." She goes, "Narcolepsy, that's narcolepsy." And I realized everyone in the waiting room was looking at me, like trying not to look at me, but also definitely looking at me. And I was mortified. So anyway, Tara saying that she gets those words confused made me feel a little bit better. Although I will say that after that, I never confused those words ever again. Anyway, keep it up. Bye.
Gotta fuck something.
To be clear, that was something that happened to me in the past. I do know the difference between those two words now.
How come you never see that in zombie films?
That's a great question.
Where's the where's the guy that's really into that? He's like, "Oh, fuck it. It's my time now."
Yes.
Zombie apocalypse. Yes, please, madam.
Mm-hmm. Especially since there are also zombie rom-coms. There should be ones where that's explicitly part of it.
Reddit wants to know, is it considered necrophilia if you fuck a zombie? Uh-huh. I don't think so, question mark, is answer number one. Aren't almost all zombies in major media undead? Like, not dead or alive? They'd have to be dead.
It's the second answer, I hope not.
I gotta update my dating profile if so.
All right. The second one is, let's be honest, the zombie fucks you. And number three is, man, just go to sleep. Reddit is my favorite.
Let's hear our last clip of the month.
Hi, Dave, Tara, Pam. It's Megan. So many calls for me this month. I just want everyone to give Tara the respect that she has earned and deserves as an expert in all things 90210.
Yeah, Dave.
Bought
Dave
that
just
book
walked away
when it first came out, a very special 90210 book. And Pam, you haven't watched 90210. That's fine. We'll forgive you for that. But
I own the book. I
if
own the
you
book.
Decide to finally watch it after 35 years, whatever it's been, a wonderful entry point would be for you to go episode by episode as Tara and Sarah go through in the book. I did that during COVID, and it really enhanced my reviewing of these episodes. And I think that it would be very enjoyable for you as a first timer. So that's my recommendation. All respect to you, Tara. As a fellow 90210 watcher, you are the GOAT. That's really all I have to say. Pam, catch up. Come on.
All right. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you.
Forever. Bye.
Oh, I don't think that you should watch it now. I think it would be a very annoying experience for you as a person of your age, which I will not say, because it's nobody's business.
I'm mid-century modern.
I don't think that you would find the show that good, because it's not good. It's just nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you bought the book. That's all I care about.
Yeah. I don't even go back and watch Friends or The Office or Parks and Rec or any of these, you know, when people are like, it's my comfort thing. I go back and watch it over and over again. I can't do that. Even Gilmore Girls, we tried and I was like, I remember all these.
Mm-hmm. So what do you watch?
I watch new stuff.
Okay.
For the most part. I will watch movies I've seen before because I'm watching it with someone else who hasn't seen it before.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But that's, yeah. Well, I will never read all these books. I will never see all these movies. I will never see all these shows. So I don't do a lot of backwards.
That's a very good book title. They don't do a lot of backwards.
Yeah, you also have to stay on top of the scene.
Yeah.
You know, it's your job.
The scene!
Cool and with it.
I gotta stay so cool.
Pay your daughter to figure out what's hip and new.
Hey, what's up? People are watching things that have Grogu's in them again.
Yep. We will be cracking open the October 1991 issue and telling you about its teen life topics. Find out what sassy staffers have to say about maintaining friendships. Cringe
Halloween facts, like if you fuck a zombie, what up with that?
I wish they were talking about that instead of Israel and Palestine, but they did not take my advice, and there is an article about that as well.
Fun.
I can also learn what he said about cheating, get an insider's look at Portland, Oregon, and more. My plug this week, in addition to a very special 90210 book, which we will link to in the show notes, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert just had its series finale, of course, ending a franchise of CBS late night programming that it started back in 1993 with The Late Show with David Letterman. RIP to both of them. I wrote about it at GQ, and we'll link that in the show notes as well.
Speaking of doing things the principal doesn't know about, last year I went to a whole bunch of high schools and filmed people doing things, and I'm making a documentary about it. It's called One Act. You can go to oneactfilm.com and watch the teaser, and if you'd like to be a part of the story, we are fundraising because, you know, it costs a lot of money to make movies. Support what's going on in Texas public schools. Support your local theater teacher and your local awesome kid.
And the 10 principals that support them.
Yeah, it's been really sweet. The teachers have finally seen themselves and they're crying, and that makes me cry. So it's just a real sob fest over there. Oneactfilm.com. Come join us, please.
That's so nice.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
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 They want to eat your brains, but really what they want is your heart.
Aww.